This morning our scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. That's page 811. And on your phone, it's Acts 2:42. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Verse 41 says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I don't know how many of you have had vacations in the last month or so, but if you had, and if you happened to be in a car on that vacation, did you happen to hear this question from either the children or the person who was in the passenger side? Are we there yet? Say that with the most whiny voice you possibly can. Are we there yet? Some of your faces, actually, you really got into that. That's the question. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I'm sure some of you have come up with some really witty answers. I've never come up with a good one besides simply no. No, no, and then that gets old too. But if we're going to torture each other, I figure it could go both ways. But are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Someone asked me once, if you're going somewhere, what's the first question that you ask? Now, I answered, to me, the most obvious one. Where are we going? Where are we going? If you're going somewhere, there's got to be a where. Where is it? And he gave me that smile of the wise teacher. He said, "Actually, no. The first question isn't where are you going? It's where are we now? Where are we now? You have to know where you are before you can go somewhere." And then the other question, which is the one that's usually most interesting, is how do we get there? How do we get there? But we're going to stick with my order, even though it's not the same one that my teacher gave me. Are we there yet? Where are we going? Over the last year, our elders have tasked a team of people. We've called them our God Dreams Dream Team. You might have read about it in the mosaics several times. To help seek God, to work together to seek God, to say, "Where are you taking us, God? What is the vision of our church? Where are we going?" And most churches ask that question. Fewer churches answer that question. Where are we going? And I had us look at Acts 2 because really it's a pretty straightforward description of the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So that's a pretty straightforward definition of the destination of church. Now, we're not going to go into it now, but several years ago when we were working through Acts, we saw very clearly that we can't look at just these verses and assume that everything was wonderful in the early church. Too frequently, when we think of the early church, we think, wow, those guys were amazing. They were incredible. The early churches, I mean, look at what's written there. Look at what they did. Well, let's not forget that they were people. Let's not forget that there were people. And people cause problems in churches. You're looking at one. If you look to your right or left, you will find more problems. You don't need to point them out right now. But we're people. But God has given us His Holy Spirit, and we just read a description of what the church can look like at its best. What the church can look like at its best. And these are just a couple of things that I've sort of summarized. It's a learning fellowship. It's a learning fellowship. This is a group of people. It's a church that is, they're learning from the apostles' teaching. And again, there's a very clear parallel for us is we're learning from the scriptures. Now, let's make sure I say this right in Armenian. Would I say sorvogh haraperutyun? Is that right? Is that a learning fellowship? Sorvogh haraperutyun. But it's, in addition to learning, they're a loving fellowship. They had relationships with each other. They were eating with each other, going house to house. They were sharing. They were caring about each other. So this would be a sirov haraperutyun. Is that correct? Sirov haraperutyun. That would be a loving fellowship. Churches are dangerous. Would you agree with me? The churches who know their Bibles but don't love each other are a dangerous group of people. We can be really dangerous because if I know my Bible well but don't love you, or you know your Bible well and don't love the person sitting next to you, this sword of the Spirit can become a little dagger of the evil one. And even though it's the truth of God, if we're not loving each other, all our correct and accurate understandings of the scripture can really be used to harm the church. You know my heart. I love Bible study. I want all of us to know as much of the scripture as we possibly can. But I know in my own life, I've had to be called out repeatedly with, hey, Greg, it's really good that you've memorized all these verses, but could I see you live it a little bit? We'd really appreciate it if you actually did what you quoted. I love how Francis Chan said, he was telling his daughter to, you know, that she needed to go clean her room. And she said, okay. Hours later, still hadn't cleaned her room. He says, why haven't you cleaned your room? She goes, no, I memorized what you said. You said, clean my room. And he said, no, I want you to do it. Oh, okay, Dad. Then it was hours later, why haven't you? Well, I called my friends. Actually, we were texting, going back and forth. What do you think it means to clean my room? What do you think Dad really wants me to? And again, I'm being silly. He was being silly. But that's what we're really good at. We're really good at studying it, but sometimes we're not so good at applying it, particularly applying it in love to each other. And I'm not just talking about you or about me specifically. I'm talking about, in general, the Church of Jesus really needs to grow. I need to grow. We need to grow in becoming a loving fellowship. Also, they were a worshiping fellowship. They were meeting in the temple courts day after day, not just on the Sabbath, but they were worshiping day after day after day. So this would be the bashto haraperutyun. That's what we want to be, a community that worships, but worships together. You know, one of the most wonderful things is when I come into the sanctuary or any other place where we're gathered to worship, and it's on one of those days when I'm just a little bit low, and I'm praying my heart out that the Word of God will go through me regardless of what my state is, my feelings are on that particular moment, and I get to worship with you, your faith, as I experience your worship, as we experience each other, we're lifted. And if we had walked in the room and been called on to trust God at that moment, we would have failed. But by the time we've been together, have you experienced this too? We've been together a little bit. We've actually, it's like, you know what? After hearing what Claire said, you know what? Things are not optimal right now, but you know what? If God could bring her through that, yep, okay, I'll do that. Or after hearing the person next to you sing, it's like, you know what? How wonderful. How marvelous. Yep, okay, I will also trust that. So to be a worshiping community together, that's the early church. Again, at its best, they worshiped together and they went house to house. It wasn't just in the temple. It was house to house. And then finally, they were an expanding fellowship. Okay, I tease us about our summer attendance, right? Because we have so many extra seats. And I really am teasing. But can you imagine that more Sundays than not, if they looked like Christmas or Easter? And not just because the people on our rolls are coming, but because you've invited a friend to worship with you, to join you in worship. And or maybe you didn't invite them to worship. Maybe you sat down with them over a cup of coffee or over lunch, or you welcomed them to your house for dinner and you actually told them about the love of Christ. And they said, I want that. You have something that I want. And whether they joined us particularly or another gathering of believers, the fellowship is expanding. Isn't this incredible? You want to know where we want to go as a church? As a learning fellowship, a loving fellowship, a worshiping fellowship, and an expanding fellowship? Now, I don't know that there are any Orthodox Christian churches who would look at this list and say, no, we're not, that's not us. That's not us. Because that's really a description of the Church of Jesus Christ at its best. But one of the things we've been learning through this process of seeking God for his vision for our church is this thought of uniqueness. So where are we now? Where are we, First Armenian Presbyterian Church, where are we now in the expression of those different qualities as a fellowship? And this is the assumption that every church is unique. That when God has moved his people to plant churches, establish churches, and to see churches continue, the idea is that each one is necessary. Each church is necessary. Because if we're all simply carbon copies of each other, that doesn't sound like God to me. You can't read the New Testament without noticing that the Corinthians were different than the Thessalonians, and the Colossians were different than the Ephesians. Hebrews, that's a whole different bunch, and the Romans, they're all different. They all had different issues that they were dealing with, and a number of them had specific ministries that God had given to them. And so I want to ask, where are we? Who are we? Who are we as a church? Is there a unique thumbprint? Is there a unique Christ print, a unique Holy Spirit print on the church that gathers at 430 South First Street? Is there something unique about us that if we disappeared, Fresno would be in trouble? Or at least certain people in the valley would really lose. And not just those who are a part of it today. Is there a uniqueness about our church? Where are we now? And so we want to now, looked at the destination. Now let's look at identification of FAPC. How are we unique? How are we unique in the valley? In just a second, you're going to actually be able to answer some of these questions. Inch bes yura hadugink. Inch bes. How are we unique? How are we different than the other 500 churches in the greater Fresno area? Did you know there's that many churches? And there's probably, on any given Sunday, 200 that you could really enjoy going to and worshiping. But if you were to go to them, I really believe you'd find something different about each one. But what's unique about FAPC, besides that we call the pastor Badveli? Is there anything else that's different about us? What's our context? What is our context? Who are we? But then, where is our ministry? What are we doing where we're doing it that's, again, unique? What is our particular context of service? And then, what is our passion? What is our passion? So, now it's survey time. And some of you have enjoyed looking at the sheet of paper that you got. You got your survey, right? Now, some of you are going to say, oh, Badveli, I hate writing it out. Don't worry, we're going to have an online version too. I'll show you that in just a second. But I want you to look at that survey, because it's not enough that a team of small people, not short people, but a small group of people, I misspoke, sorry, a small group of people and our elders answer those questions. Because the church is bigger than those who are serving on the God Dreams team, and they're bigger than our elders, they're bigger than our deacons. So we need to have your input to understand where we are. Where do you see our church? So how are we unique as a congregation? That's the first question. And then we have three questions that go with that. What is the most significant thing our church could accomplish in the Armenian community here in the valley or in the world? We're an Armenian evangelical church. Is there something that we can accomplish that possibly no one else could or no one else is interested in doing? How are we unique? What capabilities, skills, capacities, and gifts has God brought together in our congregation? You're here. You're not in any other congregation right now. And other people aren't in our congregation. So right now, where do we find ourselves? What's the mix of skills and capacities and gifts, capabilities that God has brought together? Now, you may say, listen, I've got plenty, we've got plenty, but we're not using them. And I think there's no one who would disagree with you. There are so many gifts, so many resources, people resources, other resources, that are not being expressed. And I want to say I'm sorry, but I don't even know how much I, as your pastor, how much our elders need to say, we are sorry that we have not opened up those gates. We need to know what those are. So I'm not going to really ask for forgiveness yet, because I think that's a little bit weak to say sorry if I don't know exactly what I'm asking your forgiveness for. So I want to get those answers, and then I want to genuinely, I know our elders will want to say, please forgive us for not allowing these things to be expressed. And then finally, in this question of uniqueness, what is our most significant ministry within our church or outside our church? From what you see, what is our uniqueness? Okay, that's our first sort of category. So, but then what is unique about our ministry context? What is unique about our ministry context? It may have to be with our location. It may have to do with our population. It may have to do with our target. Again, a learning fellowship, a loving fellowship, a worshiping fellowship, expanding fellowship, that's for everybody, but how is it unique for us in our context? What are the unique needs and challenges of the Armenian community to experience Christ fully here in the valley and throughout the world? I don't know of many Armenians in the Fresno area who would not identify with a given church. We are really good as a group of people identifying with either First Armenian Press, Pilgrim, Holy Trinity, St. Gregory, St. Paul. That's our church. That's what we say, that's our church. But we're not so good, even FAPC, with identifying with Jesus first, and then with the community we may have been baptized in or our families have been a part of. So what are the unique needs and challenges of the Armenian community here in the valley and throughout the world? What's the challenge to experiencing Christ? Because of our place and participation in the Armenian community, again, here in the valley and worldwide, what solution or impact could we provide that no other church could? Are you feeling a little bit of the potential excitement that we may have a unique calling and ministry right where we are? And then God may take it elsewhere. I mean, if we're His church and if we're unique, what's our context? And finally, in this category, how would you describe the spiritual lostness among Armenians who don't profess an evangelical understanding of a personal relationship with Christ? How would you describe that? And I'm not saying to insult anybody. And I'm not saying to go up to someone and say, you're lost. Just in case you haven't experienced it, you know, if you try that, that really doesn't go over too well. Unless they maybe tell you, I'm feeling a little lost. I'm not sure where I'm going. I'm not sure where I am. So what is unique about our ministry context? But I want to pause right here and say, do you care? Or would you just prefer to come to church on Sunday mornings at 11 or 11:15 or 11:20? And they just come, sit, and hopefully be mildly entertained, maybe learn a thing or two, enjoy the music, see some friends. Do you care about anything beyond yourself as you participate in the life of FAPC? Because that's really the third category, and that is, what are we most passionate about for God? Is there something in your heart for Christ that beats for something more than yourself? Okay, maybe even more than your family, although I'm not going to minimize your responsibility to love your family and to make your family to be disciples who follow Jesus. But what are you passionate about? And I love this question. If you knew you couldn't fail, what one thing would you pursue for God? And then what would you want our church to do? What's one thing you would do if you knew you could not fail? And then extend that to our church. And then as a church, what do you think we're best at? What do we love to do? What is it that brings out the best? Are we the best at anything? Are we, FAPC, the best at anything? Now, some of you are like, Bodybuilding, don't be proud. You're tempting me to be proud, Bodybuilding. Okay. Give God the glory for it, okay? Would that be all right? But let's still identify, what are we the best at anything? What do we do best? Usually behind success or excellence is passion. And finally, I want you to think back. Many of us have been around the church for a while, but you may have even just been new to the church. But think back across your history of the church or the history of our church. What event do you think best represents what God has uniquely called us to? Can you think of an event over the last, for some of you, it's 70 years. Some of you, I think it's even 80. Don't raise your hands. Actually, no, you should raise your hands. If you've been here 80, we want to honor that. But has there been an event that when you look back and you say, that was us. That was us. And it may be 40 years ago. And we need to do some major catch-up. What is it? Was there an event? Was it a worship service? Was it a funeral? Was it a memorial service? Was it another event that we as a congregation participated in together? That, you know, that's when we were, oh, that's who we are. When have we as a church been at our best? Okay, that you receive, each of you received the sheet that has that on it. And it's a blank back page. So you can fill in the blank part and then go on to the back if you want to staple another sheet to it. You are welcome to do that. But some of you, I know, you're not going to do it. You're going to just chuck this in the garbage when you go out, or maybe you'll leave it on your pew. And I want to urge you, please don't do that. But if you do it, that's what you do. And so I want to take you to our website, because some of you would prefer just to pull out your phone right now and get to work. So there in that sort of middle left side is the survey response. So Brandon, you see that up there? Brandon's got it going for us. And go ahead and click on that, please, Brandon. And then scroll up. There it is, survey response. And I know that's way too small for most of you to read. I'm having a little trouble myself, and I'm closer. And it goes through the exact same question. So what is the most significant thing our church could accomplish in the Armenian community here in the valley throughout the world? So go ahead and get ready to type. I'm going to dictate to you. The most significant thing that our church could accomplish in the Armenian community here in the valley is to proclaim the gospel clearly to all Armenians. Okay, do you mind just type? Oh, there it is. So there it is. You can just type that out and go through each of the questions. And at the bottom, go ahead and scroll all the way to the bottom. Oh, there it is. That tab, that box. I'm going to say that's orange. Am I close? Know me with my colors. Okay, that burnt orange button, click on it when you're done. Now, you may say, I don't want to do all of them. I only want to do one. We'll try to do two at least. Or maybe do one from every category. Because you may not have something to say on all of them. But try to do at least one in every category and then click send your response. And we're going to tabulate it. We'd really appreciate it if you didn't do like six or seven to try to pad so you get what you want or you try to get your viewpoint heard. Fill one out by hand, and if you want to do that, just and then do one online. But we really want your input. So we're going to be sending out a link. If we have your email, we're going to send you the link to this so you can just go right to it and then just go through it. And we'd really love it if between now and, say, August 8th, if you could take 5 or 10 minutes to actually do it, think about it ahead of time, and then please give us your input, because, again, we want to go someplace, and it's pretty clear from Scripture where we're supposed to go. But if we're going to get there, we need to see where we are right now. So if you could just pop my PowerPoint back up. First of all, any questions on the website? Get that pretty clear what we can do. It's going to be in Armenian as well, but at the moment it's just in English, so we'll have it, I hope, by Wednesday in Armenian, and the button will take you to either Armenian or English. So where are we going? Where are we now? And then our desire, as we come to understand, especially that where are we now, that we will begin to encourage each other and lead each other to where we're going. Okay, so I want to pray for us, and I'd love for you to stand to receive the benediction when I'm done. If there are people here that are not here today that you think would prefer to use paper rather than the website, please grab one of the surveys from the back or just ask, and we'll be sure to be able to send them out. Father, our desire is to become and to be the church you have in mind. You have preserved us for more than 120 years, and we trust that that is not for nothing. We look to you and ask, oh Lord, would you please open our eyes? Would you please speak through us so we can understand, so we can have a clear picture of exactly where we are? We want to see how you see us. And so I ask that you would speak through each person in our community so that we could see clearly just exactly where we are right now. And Lord, we offer ourselves to you to follow you no matter what the cost. And so we ask, Lord, please speak to us so that we might be all that you desire, your unique church of this people of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. If he ma merder Jesus Christos is snorka, horas zosera, yev sur pokvuin harataksuchuna, mer aminun head Allah. And now may the God of all grace, who takes ordinary people, makes them his people, may he make us into his church here and now. Amen.